The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Now, as part of our Give Them a Voice campaign, we have in recent weeks been trying to focus attention more and more on the resources, or rather the lack of resources up and down this country for children with additional needs. There is some good news on that front today, certainly in the southwest and the Rebel County. The Minister for Education, Norma Foley, is there today. Minister, what have you announced?
Well, this is a very positive news really for Cork. It's a significant expansion of special school provision for Cork. So it involves the establishment of a new special school in Carrigaline, providing 48 places for children with autism and general learning disability up to 18 years of age. But the provision will also provide for a change to the designation of St Mary's Special School in Rochestown to cater for children with a dual diagnosis of learning disability and autism, and 12 additional places will be provided there. So in total, there will be a provision of 16 new places in Cork, and priority will be given to children who currently do not have an offer of a school place for next September, and that's in around 44 students. So it's very much so a very positive step forward, but of course the Department of Education and the NCSE will continue to work towards the development of additional places in the Cork area, you know, to meet ongoing, I suppose, and future demand. We're very, very committed to that.
Yeah, when you talk about future demand, there is current demand. I mean, before before COVID struck, there was about 500 children getting home tuition supports because there wasn't a place for them in school. Now, a lot of them were 4 or 5 years old. Over 100, though, or about 100, were 6 years or older. I mean, you know, children who really should be in school and there was no place for them. That there is a job of work still to do here up and down the country, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. I would recognise that. And I think, to be fair, I think the Taoiseach, the government, and indeed the Department of Education under my leadership, and indeed working with Minister Madigan, we are very, very clear that special education is a key priority for this government. In fact, Kieran, you know, we have a budget in excess of $2 billion, which is really 20% of the entire budget for education is now being directed directly to special education. And we have presently, we have, we say, 125 special schools providing education for more than 8,000 pupils. But we also have special classes in mainstream. And even if we were to look at the how that provision has increased, you know, in 2011, we had 548 special classes in mainstream. Now in 2021, we have more than 1,800. So that's, you know, a 200% increase. Equally so, in Budget 2021, I was very, very pleased to increase the allocation, which we have SNAs. So we have an additional almost 1,000 SNAs in the system now, bringing it to a record high of 18,000. And we also have 145 additional special ed teachers, meaning we've more than 13,500 special ed teachers. So I think the important thing is that we recognise that it's a priority.
Yeah.
We're putting the resources in place. But equally so, I think very much so, and the this good news story for Cork is as a consequence of a very strong collaborative approach that has been taken by the Department of Education. And I particularly want to thank parents and schools and patron bodies and other stakeholders who have engaged just magnificently with the department really to tackle this issue head on and to make significant progress in as short a time span as we possibly can.
Yeah, and listen, I know that people, parents and those children in Cork will welcome this, and others who benefit from those SNAs. How soon will you work through those 500 children, for example, who are not in school? When will that be 400, 300, 200, 100, zero?
Well, we are moving apace, as I've said to you. You know, we have a significant provision now of special classes. We have as I've said here, you know, we have moved on, we'll say, with this particular provision for Cork, and we are moving apace. The objective is that every child that has an educational need will be provided for that educational need in a setting that best suits them, whether that's a special school, a special class, and as I say, considerable resources have now been made available. We are working in partnership with the patron bodies and with the schools. Schools where there is potential for additional accommodation, for that accommodation to be put in place, and where there is not, opportunity for that. We look towards, as I say, making new provision in terms of new schools or whatever. It is an absolute priority.
All right. Well, listen, as I said, it is certainly good news today for those places in Cork. While I have you, Minister, let me ask you about a couple of other stories in the news. Vaccinations, first of all, which in the news every day, I guess. are you still confident that the government will hit its target of 80% of adults vaccinated or offered a vaccine by the end of June?
Yes, I am, Kieran. Look, I suppose to be very honest, and I think everybody realises this, there have been considerable challenges along the way. They haven't been unique to Ireland. They have been Europe-wide, really. But at this point, I think we need to stand back and see where we are at. So we have one-fifth of our population has received their first dose, and some within that have received a second dose. We did take a hit in terms of Johnson & Johnson during the week, but fantastically so, you know, a further more than 500,000 came on stream from Pfizer. So things are balancing out. And, you know, this week, as you're aware, on Wednesday, the portal opened for the 65 to 70 year age group, and more than 26,000 people registered on that. You know, yeah. So everything is moving in the right direction. And we are confident that come June, 80% of the population will have received their first dose. And indeed, by July, all adults eligible for vaccination will have received the offer of vaccination as well.
Because you'd be aware, Paul Reid was speaking yesterday evening, and he said that it is highly unlikely that anyone under the age of 60 will be offered a first dose before the beginning of June. And you might correct my maths on this, because perhaps I have it wrong. There's about 2.7 million people in Ireland between the age of 18 and 60. Now, some of them will have already been vaccinated as frontline healthcare workers, and some will have been vaccinated because they've got an underlying condition or an illness which puts them at severe risk. So you're still at over 2 million people. Now, if you say even 80% of that, it's still about 1.7 million doses of the vaccine that we're going to have to administer in June alone to hit the target. Now, what your Cabinet colleagues have been very clear on is that we'll have the capacity to administer 1 million doses a month, that we're hiring enough vaccinators to do 1 million doses a month. Paul Reid seemed last night to say that we'll need to do 1.7 million in a single month, the month of June.
Well, I think, to be fair, you know, that cohort as well, it was always envisaged that much of that would take place in June. And equally so, in terms of vaccinators and all of that, we have considerable numbers available at present to meet the demand that we have at present. Yeah. But equally so, the Minister for Health has been very clear that we have the capacity to increase even more so the number of vaccinators that would be required.
We'll do 1.7 million doses in June. It's just huge, because the Minister and everyone else, they keep talking about ramping up capacity to 1 million a month. And then, as of last night, it sounds like to hit that target, we're going to suddenly have to ramp it up to 1.7 million a month. I mean, that's a 70% increase overnight.
Well, I think, to be fair, you know, even up to this point, we have had a very positive experience of whatever comes into the country, we have ensured that we get it out immediately, that we get the jabs into arms. And there's every confidence that we can continue. And we, to use the phrase which I think is overused now, we will ramp up all that needs to be put in place to do that and to ensure that. Like, we're also looking at the month of May, the month of June, and then, as we say, into July.
Yeah.
And there is capacity there. There's capacity, which is even more important, to grow present capacity in terms of vaccinators.
Okay.
The issue for us is supply. But every time we have supply, we have met the obligations there, and I have every confidence we'll continue to do that.
Yeah, we'll do the 400,000 odd a week by June. It's a pretty incredible ramp up.
Well, absolutely it is, but I think we haven't been found wanting to this point in terms of the amount of vaccination that we get into the country, in terms of getting it out to those that need it. And I think
we haven't been within a country mile of 1.7 million doses a month either.
And I appreciate that, but I think all the work has been put in place now in terms of the opening up of vaccination centres, putting in place panels of vaccinators and all of that. And again, as the Minister has said himself, you know, the capacity to extend those panels even more. So, you know, it's important that we put the plans in place now, which we're actually doing. And I have every confidence, as I said, you know, provided we can get the vaccinations, that we will meet our targets.
Okay.
But I'm very confident as well in terms of, I suppose, being honest enough to say that, you know, there have been challenges along the way. There's no rule book came to us with, I suppose, the managing of a pandemic. So we have worked through all the difficulties that have been, as I said, you know, European-wide. We've worked through them all. We're at a very good space at this present time today in terms of vaccination, and I have every confidence that, you know, we will continue in that direction.
Before I let you go then, let me ask you briefly about mandatory hotel quarantine. The Italian ambassador to Ireland was speaking to my colleagues this morning on News Talk Breakfast, and he was critical of the Irish system. The European Commission have been critical of it. In a few minutes we're going to be speaking on the hard shoulder to the Irish, the French ambassador to Ireland and the Belgian ambassador to Ireland. We can safely assume that they're singing off the same hymn sheet. The type of language that's been used is that it is disproportionate and discriminatory.
Well, I, to be fair, I think we have very sound legal advice to do what we are doing. But equally so, I think every country must do what it needs to do to best protect the people.
The sound legal advice, the Attorney General definitely didn't warn Stephen Donnelly about any possible issues with the European Commission and free movement.
No, I think, to be fair, the European Commission have simply asked for clarification, and we're very confident that, you know, the legal basis that we have for putting in place the measures that we put in place is absolutely 100% sound. You know, every country, as I've said, has an obligation to follow public health advice. Remember, you know, everything that we have done thus far really is in terms of putting in place measures that are recommended by public health, and public health is very strongly recommending that we have to be very, very careful in terms of, obviously, the variants and different variants, and that we need to put the measures in place to ensure that we are protecting our people. And again, you know, this is a further measure in terms of mandatory hotel quarantine.
Do we need more exceptions, though? It seems like, you know, it was brought in, I suppose, without really any nuance built into the system. And it's the High Court, essentially, who are kind of seem to be making the rules up as they go along. As a challenge appears before it, they let people home. We had a change of policy around parents who've engaged with surrogacy services overseas because of a couple coming home from the Ukraine. That only happened overnight. I mean, there's now calls for people doing essential work. There are thousands of Irish citizens working at the EU and international institutions who are not MEPs, for example. I'm sure the Belgian ambassador will talk about that. The French ambassador as well, I'm sure, will bring up the issue of someone who arrives into Ireland, an essential worker, coming back maybe from Belgium through France. They get to Rosslare in their car. Where did they park their car for 2 weeks, and how do they get back to it?
Yeah, indeed. And I'm going to say, I suppose, very clearly, Kieran, there are always going to be issues. There are always going to be difficulties and challenges. But the important thing is that we put in place measures that best protect our people. And this is a measure that is required. It is a best practice measure to ensure that we are preventing the introduction of new variants within our country, and doing all that needs to be done, as I say, to protect our people. Now, equally so, it is an evolving situation. So in terms of last week, the government decided to seek a rapid review in terms of people who were fully vaccinated, and the acting CMO provided advice to the Minister of Health in relation to that on Thursday. So now regulations will be drawn up in the coming days to legally exempt those persons who arrive into the state who have been vaccinated. Now they will still be legally obliged to do home quarantine, and they'll still be obliged to get, you know, the negative PCR test on day five. But what I'm saying is we must, as a priority, protect our country
that?
And our people.
Can you explain why, if someone is deemed safe enough that they don't have to go to a hotel because they don't transmit the virus, that they still have to quarantine at home?
Well, until we get the thorough verification of a day five PCR test, and I think that's appropriate. And I think people, again, we must realise that we're recommending that there should be no non-essential travel. And I think those who are obliged or have a need to travel will recognise the importance of, you know, of doing the right thing when they arrive in a country.